I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go
back. Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour extraterrestrial tango. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Lexington to Lansing, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you. So good to be back. So excited to be back. I missed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week. Headed down to Florida for spring training. Got myself a healthy dose of Grapefruit League action. I love this time of the year because, of course, there's March Madness. The NBA season is wrapping up. The NHL season, regular season, wrapping up, so the playoffs are just around the corner. Big-time games in both hockey and hoops, and spring training. Baseball is here. NFL free agency. It is a chaotic and crazy and amazing sports time. And so I've got a ton of takes from last week that I didn't get a chance to get to, obviously, as Jody Mack wonderfully filled in last week. So that was fun, I'm sure, for everybody. Little Mac attack for you guys here on the mothership on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I'm back now. I'm ready to roll. And I've got takes pouring out of my ears. Coming up this morning on the show, we will break down the bracket, the field of 68. We've got our March Madness seedings. Reed Forgrave's going to join us. CBS Sports College Basketball Insider. He'll join us in hour number three. I'll get to my brackets breakdown throughout the morning, including coming up in just a mere moment. Also, we'll talk NFL free agency. Which diva wide receiver is happiest? Odell Beckham's in Cleveland, Antonio Brown's in Oakland. LeBron with a disaster of a game yesterday against the Knicks. Are the LeBron Lakers years threatening to become his Jordan Wizards years? We've also got the Chiefs with a debacle of an offseason thus far, as now we hear the news on Tyreek Hill. And it's Monday, which means Alliance Primetime! America's team finally knocked off, and the 72 Dolphins popped the champagne to celebrate. Orlando handed its first loss of the season in week number 6, and Mercury Morris, Larry Zonka, Bob Greasy, and company popping champagne over the weekend. Here's your phone number if you want to jump in on any of those topics, questions, comments, concerns, thoughts on the bracket. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. We begin with Duke. We begin with Zion. We begin with a Blue Devils team that without Williamson was 500. With him, just ran through the ACC tournament, which, by the way, featured three number one seeds. Before the season began, with all that collection of talent, we asked this question: who can beat Duke? You might remember, before the season began, we were talking about, can anybody beat Duke? They hypothetically came into the season with the three highest picked players in the NBA draft. Imagine one team with one, two, and three in the NBA draft. How can that team be taken down? And then through the season, they had an up, they had a down, but specifically when they lost Zion Williamson, it all kind of came unraveled. And they end up going 3-3 in his absence before the ACC tournament. And then the ACC tournament hits, and they just go right through the heart of the ACC and cut down the nets. They are now the number one overall seed. And Zion's return in the ACC tournament was something to behold. His games each night gave you a what the hell was that moment in the best way possible. Jaw-dropping dunks and explosion and putbacks and scoring and rebounds and everything. The question is this, and it is so obvious, but it is the only question to ask right now this morning as Duke gets the number one overall seed. Can anybody beat Duke if they've got a healthy Zion? It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
To no one's surprise, the overall number one seed is Duke, with the Blue Devils playing in the East Region. The Blue Devils, the 14th time they're a number one seed. Their first since 2015. Four of their five titles came as a number one seed. So the number one seed overall, the Duke Blue Devils.
You think you're going to come in and try to dominate, but for us to actually come this far and win, I think it says a lot about how much you want to win.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Greg Gumbel yesterday as part of the NCAA Selection Sunday show on CBS. Then Zion Williamson after the Duke Blue Devils become ACC tournament champions. My answer is no. I don't think anybody with Zion at this level can defeat Duke. And I'll give you my historical comp. This year's Duke team with Zion feels a lot like, to me, the 2012 Kentucky team with Anthony Davis. A supernova talent that carries the team to the next level and is simply on a march to a championship, because that one player is playing at such a ridiculous level, but he's also surrounded by other good players. But nothing like the singular talent like Anthony Davis. That Kentucky team was very good, as they always are under John Calipari. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was on that team. They had a very good starting five and a decent bench, but Anthony Davis was the man. And that was a guy that was contributing points and rebounds and blocks. And he was just a machine in the NCAA tournament.
You are a machine of death.
I think the same thing now with Duke. Had you taken AD off of that Kentucky squad, there's no way they're winning a championship. Same thing with Zion off of this Duke team. You saw what they were. They were a team that was vulnerable, could be beaten. They could be beaten badly without Zion. But with him, I just think he pushes them to such a different level that you can't take down Duke this year. And I feel as though Zion in many ways is underrated. And I know that people will say he's overhyped, he's overrated, he's got no jump shot. Here's why I think in one way he's actually underrated. I think people look at the dunks and think that he's a one-dimensional player. And what they fail to realize is over the course of this season, he has developed into the best player in college basketball. He's the best overall player. Doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean his jump shot is beautiful. But it means that over the course of 40 minutes of basketball, every time he's out there, he's by far the best player on the floor. And it's not just because of a couple of windmill dunks. I think people sleep on how good his overall offensive game is because he doesn't have a quote-unquote jump shot. It's not smooth from the outside. But he finds ways to get to the basket, to collect rebounds around the basket, to create space around the basket. And whether it's because of his size, his speed, his first step, his explosion, I think he's got a really good intuition around the basket in terms of rebounding, angles, putbacks, etc. Zion's the best player in college basketball. He's not just the best dunker or the biggest superstar. He's the best all-around player. And because of that, if Duke gets Zion like we just saw in the ACC tournament, the answer is no. Nobody's going to beat that team. He's so special. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Also, the whole conversation around whether Zion should play basketball again after the injury, I think, has become so silly. Because when he injured his knee, plenty of people said, shut it down. Don't play again. Don't risk it. Then he came back, and he was so thoroughly dominant that people that couldn't believe, some said, don't play again, started barking at those people. See how stupid you looked? See how ridiculous that was? And I find this whole conversation really interesting. Because on the one hand, you have people that say, shut it down. They're looking at it from a cold, hard business standpoint. Zion, don't risk anything. You're not getting paid. Why would you bother risking anything? On the other hand, you have people saying that's not what college basketball is about. That's not what sports is about. It's not just about the money. And both sides, I think, miss the point. I think the people that said, shut it down, don't play, can advise Zion to take into account, hey, there's nothing to be gained here from a business standpoint. You're going to be the number one pick overall. You can't get any higher than that. It's not like by playing in the NCAA tournament, you can get a bigger contract for number one overall. You can get more endorsement deals, I suppose, but the NBA can't offer you a bigger contract just because, so why risk it? You've got your entire career ahead of you. And that's one way to look at it, unless Zion says, no, there's something special about playing in March Madness. I've always dreamt about that. I want to do that. And that's fine. You can't kill a kid who this is his dream, that he wants to play with his teammates, his friends at this university for the NCAA glory. You can't fault him for that, even though it's not a great business decision necessarily, because you could risk re-injury. But the people that say, see how stupid you were, see how great he is, are also missing the point. Zion's not here to act out your fandom. See, it's so beautiful, it's so gorgeous, he's so dominant, of course he should play. That's what sports is about. Well, wait a second. Zion didn't show up on the campus of Duke to make sure you enjoyed basketball more or that you had a more interesting March Madness. He didn't show up to tantalize you. That's a really selfish way of looking at it. This is what I said when he went down, and I'll stay to it. If I was advising Zion, I couldn't in good conscience tell him, yeah, you definitely got to come back and play. Because ultimately, the business doesn't support that. But I'm also not going to shame him. No matter what his decision is, it's his decision. It's great. I would love to have him play. Oh, he said, I love watching this kid. I'd love to see him play in March Madness. I just couldn't with a good conscience suggest, yeah, you got to play, man, because it's for the glory. It's for the history. It's for the legacy. Those are vagaries. Those are ethereal, undefinable things that you can only go through if you're him. He's not doing this for us. Can't ask him to do it for us or for the greatness of the tournament or for the greatness of the bracket or because what Duke means or something like that. He's going to do it for himself. And the fact that he's doing it is awesome because it's awesome to behold how good and exciting this kid is. 855-212-4227. This offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs has been about as demoralizing as possible. Justin Houston, he gone. Dee Ford, he gone. Kareem Hunt, he gone. And now Tyreek Hill is in trouble. Are the Chiefs having the worst offseason ever? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Protector, you're about to be zapped.
Your Nomad series is just amazing. And if you've never been down there, what an amazing experience. That's just one of the most amazing college football settings and just one of the most amazing, beautiful colleges around.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. There's so many ways you can listen to the show. Of course, you can always listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our wonderful affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also, check us out on SiriusXM Channel 206. SiriusXM Channel 206. And you can listen to us on your phone. Check us out using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. It's an Ask the Bro and Ask the Pros day, so you can ask the bros and the pros by sending us a question at Twitter, DA on CBS, DA on CBS. Check out the link. Also, CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. And we will answer to the question later on in the morning. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Alliance Primetime this morning. Week number 6, and the Orlando Apollos finally lose. The 72 Dolphins popping champagne. Orlando loses for the first time, and so America's team going down. An enormous piece of news, but not nearly as enormous as Johnny Manziel joining the Alliance this week. He'll be a member of Pete the Body Bilotti's Memphis Express. So we'll talk about that, obviously, coming up here as part of Alliance Primetime. The best recap of Alliance football anywhere is right here Monday mornings. We'll do that coming up at 40 minutes past next hour. So about an hour and 20 minutes from now. Bad news surrounding Tyreek Hill. Most importantly, violence allegedly against a child is the worst part about this. Not the football part, not the Tyreek Hill part. It is that there could be a 3-year-old child who was hurt or injured. That's the worst part about this. But you know, last year, now just a couple of months ago, when the Kansas City Chiefs lost at home in the AFC Championship game, the narrative was, it's okay, they'll be back. And Patrick Mahomes is going to be back in that spot many times. So even though it was a crushing loss, even though it was a heartbreaking way to lose, even though in some ways it was just luck of the draw, whoever won that coin toss in overtime is going to win that AFC title game, go right down the field and score a touchdown. And it just so happened because the Patriots have a nice, shiny horseshoe stuck up their rear end. They won that coin toss, and thus they won the AFC Championship. But people said, fear not. Patrick Mahomes is so good. that they will definitely be back. That is a franchise on the ascent. And Mahomes is such an otherworldly talent. He'll definitely be back. And I got to say, we're only at the very, very tip of his career. And so if you gave me the option to bet on whether Patrick Mahomes over the next 13 years, let's say, will be in another AFC title game or a Super Bowl versus not, I would say, of course. Of course, I would say yes. Of course, I would say that over the next 13 years, this guy is going to be playing in that game again. However, nothing is guaranteed. And this Chiefs offseason is proving that. Justin Houston, released. D. Ford, traded. Those were the Chiefs' best two pass rushers. Kareem Hunt, released obviously, picked up by the Cleveland Browns. And now Tyreek Hill, who has a checkered past already with domestic violence. You combine all of that, that's one of the league's leading rushers, the Chiefs' two best pass rushers. They have a new defensive coordinator in Steve Spagnuolo and a new defensive system, which, to be fair, can't be worse than the old one under Bob Sutton. And now their star wide receiver and most explosive playmaking target for Patrick Mahomes perhaps being suspended. And who knows, once we get the details of this, if the Chiefs may be forced to release him the same way they had to with Kareem Hunt. It makes for a really rough offseason. And that's why I say you never guarantee anything in sports, but specifically the NFL. There's no guarantees. The margin for error is so small. Who knows if it all comes together like it did for the Chiefs in 2018 ever again? They had the AFC Championship game at home against a wounded New England Patriots squad. And this is what makes the Patriots so obnoxious. This is what makes their run of success so unfair in many ways. It's that you don't know if that was the one moment the Chiefs have to get it right and couldn't, versus knowing the Patriots will be in the AFC title game for a decade straight. But for everybody outside of New England, there is no guarantees. There isn't. There's no guarantee that without Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill and Houston and Dee Ford, that the Patriots don't slide to perhaps the second team in that division. Maybe the Chargers win the division at 12-4. The Chiefs are suddenly 11-5. They've got to go on the road in the wild card weekend and then go on the road in the divisional round and then never make it back to an AFC title game. Again, there's going to be plenty of permutations surrounding Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs over the next decade. So what we see now as reality certainly is not going to be the reality 5 years from now. And perhaps Mahomes is so good. Perhaps Mahomes is so incredibly talented, generational quarterback. He is back winning the division almost every year, and the Chiefs turn into the Patriots again. And they just win the AFC West every single season, and they're basically playing the AFC title game for 10 years in a row. But the odds are that's not going to happen. The odds are there's going to be some great teams that the Chiefs have under Mahomes, but some not-so-great teams, and some bad luck, and something goes askew, and a bad bounce here, and a bad bounce there. You just don't know if you ever get back. And I cringed when I heard everybody just kind of assume, because it makes us feel better as sports fans, well, Mahomes will be back. He played a great game against Brady. He was phenomenal in that second half. And even though a couple things went against the Chiefs, questionable calls by the refs, coin toss didn't go their way. D. Ford lined up offside. I mean, again, that is just this luck of the draw for the Patriots. D. Ford lines up offside, or they're not going to the Super Bowl. And you can't tell me the Chiefs wouldn't have scored more than 3 points in the Super Bowl against the Rams. So I would like my chances for the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl this year. But now you look at it, and some of this is the Chiefs doing, some of it isn't. And I hope, because you know my affinity for the city of Kansas City, you know my affinity for Chiefs fans, you know what I believe, that Chiefs fans are as deserving as any fan base in the NFL of finally having a championship banner and a parade to reward them for this incredible run of loyalty they have had. But I worry. I worry that there is a Dan Marino ghost hanging over Mahomes, because that franchise hasn't won a Super Bowl since Len Dawson. And they have a hard time winning playoff games. And they had an AFC championship game at home and had it won, and Dee Ford was offsides. And I just worry that when Dan Marino went to a Super Bowl in year number two, we said, well, he'll be back plenty of times. And he never went back. And it seemed given and guaranteed. And I know that the Chiefs, I'm sure, are going, we've got to make sure we take advantage of Patrick Mahomes right now and forever, and we can't let it happen the way Dan Marino's career happened. But I just worry about that type of stuff. And when I saw this news about Tyreek Hill, it just once again made me remember how foolish it is to assume anything in the NFL. How foolish it is to just assume teams will be back, players will be back. The Patriots are an outlier. They have been great, and Brady's great, and Belichick is great, but they have had incredible good fortune. They have existed in a division where they didn't have to break a sweat to win it, and thus they are automatically grandfathered in to a home playoff game and usually a bye. You have no idea what type of fortune that is. The Chiefs are not guaranteed that luxury. The Chiefs over the next 12 or 15 years are not guaranteed to win the division every year and start off their playoff chase in the divisional round at home. They're not guaranteed that. Nobody is. And I saw this and I just said, we can't ever be foolish enough to just assume a player or a team will always be back, especially in the NFL, where so many things have to go right and it's one game tournaments. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including one NBA legend with harsh words for LeBron. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Zapped while the sun is out.
Oh, good morning, man. Here come my ex-wife. Could you beat me up? Oh, man, good looking.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
She's a bad girl, David.
43 minutes past the hour. Appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday. Alliance Primetime coming your way 1 hour from now. The Orlando Apollos, America's team, finally losing, handed their first loss of the season. I'm sure Lions Primetime will be all over it. Bogish, Mraz, with your highlights of the AAF's week and singing and dancing and much joy. It's a Lions Primetime coming your way 1 hour from now.
Brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha. Stress on the ha-ha. Ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah.
Also, a little reminder that the best of video clips from this morning's show, as it is every single morning, available on YouTube and Facebook. So go to YouTube and just search The DA Show. You'll find our best of clips there, and you'll find the best of every morning's clips available on our Facebook page, facebook.com/The DA Show. We'll go inside the brackets with Reed Forgrave coming up here in a little bit. I just saw Seth Davis in the hallway during the commercial break, and I got to say, I thought that CBS's Selection Sunday show last night was tremendous. I think that is one of the best sports television shows that we have across any landscape. I thought Greg Gumbel always does a really professional job. He gets in and out quickly, very clear in the seating, who's playing who, background in each team. And then you have Clark Kellogg and Seth Davis, and Seth willing to take some shots, willing to get a little spicy, willing to talk about top seeds that'll falter, upset potential. I liked it. And I compared that to the bracketology show that ESPN did following. And ESPN's coverage of college basketball is usually amazing. Really, really good. And I love Jay Billis. And I think usually Carl Ravitch or Reese Davis, usually in this case it's Reese Davis, does a tremendous job. I thought their bracketology show stunk. I thought it was sloppy. It was off the cuff. I thought that Reese tossed it to the guys for some interesting opinions. They weren't ready for it. Nothing seemed rehearsed. I thought it just felt really sloppy. So comparing that to how crisp the Selection Sunday show was, I was really impressed by CBS. And again, this is not a CBS versus ESPN thing because of my employer, because I think ESPN does some great work over the course of the college basketball season producing games. Their production of things like the old Big East tournament, their production of the ACC tournament, their production of regular season games, going all the way as early as the Maui Invitational and Midnight Madness, is sublime. It's really, really good. I just thought that last night's stuff was just sloppy. But we'll do some bracketology with Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, coming up here in about an hour and a half from now. Also, next hour, I'll talk about which high seed I think has the biggest choke potential. But first, your best audio of the day. It is time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Tony Bennett and the Virginia Cavaliers are a number one seed yet again. Last year, UVA was the one seed overall, and of course was the first one seed ever to lose to the 16 UMBC. So now, 1 year later, Bennett and the Cavs are a one seed again. How does it feel to be back in the same spot after the most embarrassing loss in college basketball history?
I told our guys, when you're awarded a one seed, it's a product of a heck of a season. It's kind of over the body of work, and the fact that these guys had the year they did in a conference the way they did, one that was, I don't know if it's the first time in the history of the tournament, but three number one seeds from the same conference was impressive. So you're just excited to find out who you're going to play, where you're going to play, and all those things. And just thankful that these guys have had the year they had, and now we know it's time to prepare well and be ready to go.
So it's the first time since the old Big East in 09 that one conference has had three number one seeds. Duke, UVA, UNC, all from the ACC, all number one seeds. I think there's no doubt UVA is going to win its 116 game this year over Gardner-Webb. I would take that to the bank. I don't care how much, what the odds are. No matter what, there's no way they're going to lose to a 16 seed 2 years in a row. Okay, so we'll go there. I think UVA actually gets out of the first week, and I think they'll beat the winner of Ole Miss, Oklahoma. I think that's going to be Ole Miss that advances past Oklahoma, and so I got UVA into the Sweet 16. And their bracket on the top half, I think they can get through to get to an Elite Eight. I don't think they'll go further than that. I think that UVA is really hard to believe in, not only because of the upset last year, but because of the style of play that UVA employs is not always best suited in the NCAA tournament. And when you can't score, and when you don't have, and at times they've been great. I mean, their three-point shooting effort against Syracuse a week and a half ago was incredible. But if you've got problems scoring regularly, you get yourself into pressurized situations like last year against UMBC, and suddenly the Retrievers are hitting everything, and you're not built to come back from a deficit, and the pressure mounts, and you're cooked. In many ways, UVA, the way they play basketball, was perfectly suited for a massive upset like last year. I don't trust them. I think they'll get out of the first weekend. I think they will not get to a Final Four. Joe Flacco, now a member of the Denver Broncos, Everyone's saying he's trash, he's no good, he's a joke. And he says, I feel better than I ever have.
With Tom Brady now, quarterbacks are playing until they're about 60 years old. So, listen, I'm as healthy as I've ever been. I'm as physical as I've ever been. You know, obviously at any time, something crazy could happen. But, you know, barring anything crazy happening, I'm as healthy as I can be and as physical and ready to go as ever.
I'm pro Joe Flacco. I'm a January Joe guy. I think this is the right move for the Broncos. They've got a good defense. They now have a good running back in Philip Lindsay. I think they just needed to stabilize that quarterback position. I am pro the Broncos going in for January Joes. And whereas you roll your eyes right now, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to eat some crow. You're going to eat some old raven, some Bronco hoof coming up this fall.
Bronco hoof? Do Broncos have hoofs?
I think those, yeah.
I think just horses have hoofs.
Well, that's what Broncos are.
Are they? I thought they were like bulls.
You thought a Bronco was, you think that thing on the side of his helmet is a bull?
Now that you say it, it looks like a horse, but that's a weird thing to call a horse is a Bronco.
Don't you remember the old John Elway helmets? It's a horse coming out of the D.
So why not just call them the Denver horses?
A Bronco is like a bucking horse.
Don't all horses buck?
Not all horses buck.
So only a horse that bucks, then they become a Bronco. Then what the heck's a stallion up in Salt Lake? That's a kind of horse, isn't it?
Broncos are like ranch horses or like wild horses.
But a milk ranch horses.
Okay, I can't believe you didn't know that a Bronco is a horse.
I just assume like a buffalo or a bull.
You thought, have you ever seen their mascot on the sidelines, a big horse.
Yeah, but I mean, think about how bulky a bull costume would be. What else are you going to do?
A Houston Texan, that's the bull, okay?
Right.
The Bronco is a horse.
You're absolutely right based on logo and everything, but every time I heard Bronco, I just assumed like a bull. But bottom line is this Flacco still stinks, and he's going to run the bulls into the ground.
Also, do you not realize a bull has a hoof too?
I don't think they do,
no?
Dude.
What do you think they have, like a hand? Think they got a couple of fingers?
No, I don't. I think you call it a paw.
A paw? You think?
It's not a hoof.
You think cows and bulls have paws? You think they're like tiger paws?
Or feet?
You think they got feet?
They don't have hooves. Hooves are for horses only.
Hooves are for horses only?
Yes.
That's wrong. A pig has a hoof?
A pig has a snout. You know that.
What's on their feet? What's on their legs?
They're not hooves.
What are they?
Paws.
They're paws.
Pig has paws.
A pig paw.
A pig paw, yeah. Like a pig pen, a pig paw.
Pig paw.
Yeah, hoof. A deer might have a hoof.
A deer definitely has a hoof.
But they're like mini horses.
Okay.
A bull is too big to have a hoof.
Yeah, what do you think a cow has?
I think a cow has a paw.
You think a cow has a paw?
Yeah. And they tell them to move over.
What do you think, like, hoof soup is? Haven't you ever heard of
putting... Oh, who would eat that?
It's a thing.
Then why do horses need shoes?
What do you mean?
They wear shoes. Those are for hooves. You see bull shoes?
You think horses wear shoes because of their hooves?
Horseshoes are a real thing. That's what the Colt logo is.
Okay.
And it covers the hoof. People with paws or dogs or any animals with paws don't need shoes. Unless you're putting them in a boutique. It's to cover the hoof.
Okay. All right. I mean, we could do this for the next 2 hours, but I won't waste everybody's time. And finally, Walt Clyde Frazier on MSG Network yesterday during the Knicks and Lakers game, pointing out that LeBron James was sitting far away from his teammates, a couple of seats away from the next closest teammate.
How about LeBron sneakers, Clyde?
Yep, fit for a king. The laces and everything, but this type of behavior is not. When you're the face of the NBA, I think you should be more a part of your team, folks. No matter what is going on the public, you got to be a part of the team. Maybe in the locker room you're not, but you have to exude that type of togetherness in public, folks. And right now we see he doesn't really care.
So I find this really interesting because I think this has been a very difficult year for LeBron. And I think at times he does feel emotionally checked out. I think going so far as to say he doesn't care is a bridge too far, because LeBron has been so good for so long. He's obviously a high competitor. He's obviously dragged lesser teams to the NBA Finals. He's been in the NBA Finals 8 years in a row as the best player in basketball. To suddenly say he doesn't care, I think is silly. That's, to me, a leap too far. But do I think that emotionally, he's not nearly as intertwined as he has been in the past because this Lakers team is so bad and so injured and the team is so lost? The answer is yes. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. You could save 15% or more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.